darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Alex McFarland here. Very honored to be sitting in for attorney, pastor, and broadcaster Abe Hamilton III. A lot to talk about in the news. By the way, I'm going to give the number. It's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And I want to talk about America a little bit. There are a couple of things in the news, one of which we could talk about is, of course, President Biden's age. During the debate with Donald Trump, now almost 2 weeks ago, clearly, President Biden showed what people have sort of talked about or maybe whispered about for a while, the undeniable effect of time, that our president is an older American, 81 years old, and the oldest person to hold office, oldest person to run for the presidential office. And so I want to talk about that. More and more leaders, more and more Democrat leaders are calling for President Biden to drop out of the race. Now, of course, what that would do is raise a lot of questions about who would run in his stead. And, you know, I'm a conservative. I'm a Christian. This is a conservative Christian radio network. I really have not liked any of the policies of the Biden nor Democrat administrations for a long time. But I will say this, watching the debate, just as a fellow human being, and in the course of ministry, you know, really interacted with and ministered to a lot of older people, my heart was heavy, you know, because here's one of the things about the biblical worldview. We believe life is sacred in every context. And so while I vehemently would argue against President Biden's policies and the legacy of this administration is going to be overwhelmingly negative, but my empathy for him as a human being is there nonetheless. I mean, my heart is heavy. He's a human being. He's nearing the end of his life. His faculties are diminishing. And at the same time, you know, I want to say that, you know, we don't make fun of him because he's, you know, elderly. And many doctors have been in the news saying that he exhibits signs of Parkinson's. And, you know, as I watch President Biden struggling to make sentences and getting tangled up in his words, and last Friday, I mean, the Twitterverse made so many jokes about this, but Biden, in trying to reassure his constituency, last Friday promised to, quote, beat Trump again in 2020. This is 2024, as we all know. A lot of people were just really relishing and making fun, and I get that to a degree. But, you know, the reason my heart is heavy, this is a human being. This is a man who, based on his support for so many ungodly positions, you know, I'm praying for him. You know, he has a little number of years left, and I pray for him to be right with God. So anyway, we can talk about that. The other thing to talk about, and then I've got a very special guest that I want to introduce to you in just a moment, but the Republican convention is next week. I'll be there. I've got media credentials, and I'll be broadcasting from the RNC convention in Wisconsin next week. There has been a call on the part of many to for the Republicans to soften their stance on abortion and marriage. And what about that? I think it would be disastrous, and I think it would cost them votes. But we can talk about that. If you want to call in, the number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. But right now, I want to, let me just say this. In the course of ministry, you know, you meet a lot of people. As may be expected, some make more of an impression than others. You know, several months ago, we were doing the first of our summer camps, and I was in Montana, and I heard a speaker that I had heard of for some time, but heard him in person, and I was just blown away by this man's knowledge of the U.S. Constitution and his passionate commitment to light a fire of patriotism in the hearts of teenagers at our camp in Montana. But Self-Evident Ministry is led by a man named Massey Campus, and their website is theselfevidenttruth.com. And I wanted to have him on. We can talk about these things, the nation, the political and spiritual state of our country, and so much more. Bill Federer, who we've had on so many times, longtime colleague and friend William J. Federer, just talks glowingly about Massey Campus. And everything Bill Federer told me about him proved to be true, and then some. He's with us now. Massey, great to have you on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for making time to be with us, brother.
Alex, that's a wonderful introduction. However, I acquiesce to you too, sir. You're awesome, man. I love being on here with you.
Well, it's a privilege. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I hear a lot of speakers. We've booked dozens and dozens of speakers. And I watched you when we were in Montana. We were at this Christian camp, and we had over 100 teenagers there. And you gave a few talks, but you gave one about the Judeo-Christian biblical founding of our country. And there, 120 teens were riveted listening. You got a big ovation. And I want you to tell people who you are and how did God bring you to where you are in ministry and being such an expert voice on the Constitution and our nation.
My name is Massey Campos. I'm just the founder of this ministry, Self-Evident. We started this in 2016, and again, thank you guys for having us on. We started with this notion that in 2004, when I was going into high schools and doing our testimony, those with another group, we started hearing this phrase, many of you would know it, separation of church and state, and we started getting kicked out of schools because you can't mix God and schools. You know, you can't mix God and government. That's just how this works. And I was so angry about it. I wish my wife was here with me. She would tell you I was so frustrated about that because the Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't say except public schools. So I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And then someone handed me, I got so frustrated, I met a woman who had a bumper sticker, and it said a gentleman running for president for the Constitution Party. His name was Michael Peruca. And it said God, Family, Republic was his platform. I'm like, what is that? And she said, this is Michael. He's running for president in 2004 under the Constitution Party. I had no idea there was a Constitution Party or anything like that. And so we ended up meeting Michael. He taught a Constitution course at our office for 2 weeks, and it changed my life. And then Someone eventually handed me a DVD that year of David Barton's America's Original Intent, and I was floored. And I figured, as my parents being migrants, and they came from Mexico in the 60s, I was never taught anything that I teach now. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. I was raised a Democrat and all those other things. My dad's a pastor, so he was lied to. And when I started to change my ideology and started seeing scripture for what it was and how he ordains government, Romans 13, 1 Peter 2, Titus 3, I was like, okay, there's something that needs to be talked about. And then I started studying the founders and what they studied and all the philosophers they studied, and John Locke and Montesquieu. And it just, I got into this deep dive for about 6 years, just really studying that and apologetics. I was doing both at the same time, government history plus biblical history, and still doing so much study now. And so the last 8 years has just been, let's go tell the kids what no one ever told us kind of thing. Let's go save our souls. So that's why we do it.
You know, Massey, it's much like that for me. I got saved when I was 21 in college. And, you know, I went, you know, K-12, public school, public college. You know, and listen, I'm older than you. And, you know, I guess it could be argued that when I was coming up, maybe the country was a little more godly and a little more patriotic. And nevertheless, I never heard the truth about our Constitution. And so after I became a Christian, you know, I began to grow in the Lord. But it was in the 90s I came across books by David Barton. wall builders. And I went to hear him speak, and then I was a youth pastor, and I helped bring him to Greensboro, North Carolina. And every time I see David Barton, I still tell him, I say, look, man, when you came to Greensboro back in, I think it was something like 96 or 97, man, it was like getting saved all over again. Because for the first time in my life, I begin to learn about the Judeo-Christian history of our country. Now, we've got calls. We're going to go to calls. Massey, I want to pick your brain on a number of things. But before we go farther, give your website and a brief little overview of what your ministry does.
Sure. Our website is theselfevidenttruth.com, theselfevidenttruth.com. Basically, what we do is we travel into high schools, colleges. We've been doing now youth groups, churches. We didn't set out to do churches first. We were really going to colleges and schools. But right. Pastors started showing up to the colleges. We started doing those. And we've been talking about not just the Judeo-Christian founding of our country. It's also the philosophy of law, how biblically we're supposed to be the salt and light of the world. Jeremiah 29 says, even when you're in exile, to go plant vineyards, go build houses. Don't not be a Christian, even if it's bad. Keep being Christians. And so we started to promote this and saying, hey, there's a way to preach the gospel, even using history and all the lies that are being taught through it, and even how Christ was the one that helped America stop slavery. It was the Christians who helped stop hunger. It's the Christians who primarily are the ones stepping up in governmental positions and such things. And so that's what we do is we've been traveling for 8 years. We've reached hundreds of thousands of people, so many souls saved. We believe, I'm just going to say it out there, we pray much for people. We love to minister to people, especially youth who are going through suicidal thoughts, ideologies, terrible family situations, and we just love to preach the gospel to them. And so it's been so awesome to do that. And just being with you at the camps has been the same, just preaching the gospel, seeing the kids repent and be saved. And it's pretty incredible, man. We get to do the best, the funnest things, man.
we really do. And by the way, we've got a call board that's getting full of calls. And folks, we are going to get your calls. Please hang on. It's 888-589-8840. We're coming up on a break in about a minute and a half, and I want to do all the calls justice. There's so much to talk about. President Biden, will he stay in the race or not? Many within his own party are urging him to step out. Then the RNC. By the way, Massey, you know what's exciting to me? Like I say, I'll be there next week. And I was looking at the itinerary. There's a lot going on, but there is a presentation of Hispanic voters for Trump and Republican, conservative. Like you said, and I've known so many wonderful persons of Hispanic extract, and they're spiritually and socially conservative, but for years they have voted Democrat. I believe, and Massey, you can speak to this if you want to. I think so many people are waking up. The stranglehold that the Democrat Party has had on the Hispanic vote is coming to an end, and I think on the Jewish vote as well. I think a lot of Hispanic voters, Jewish voters, and other ethnicities, they're going to be voting conservative Republican. And I think it's a new era coming. Would you agree?
100%. And one of the big reasons is you cannot keep going anti-Bible and expect people to stay, especially if they're mostly Hispanic Christians, a lot of them being Catholic, which are staunch on the
conservative
side of the Bible, very moral. Yeah, very conservative. So, you know, you're seeing that. And especially with the Jewish people, you can't keep going against the Torah for them and expect to keep them. You just can't. Eventually, the truth is going to cave in on them. I'm talking about the DNC, and they're going to lose votes, and that's what's happening now.
Yeah, and you know, I've often said this, that the greatest favor a president could ever do to the American people is be a good friend of the nation of Israel. But
100%.
We've got a break coming up. This is the Hamilton Corner. A lot to talk about. Alex McFarland here sitting in for attorney, pastor, journalist Abe Hamilton III. Very honored to have with us Massey Campos of Self-Evident Ministries. What about our nation? And by the way, folks, one of the best things that we can do to stay not only true to God, but to our Constitution, is to affirm and reiterate the sanctity of human life, legal protection for the unborn. we need to pray because there are people urging the RNC to pull away from their platform position of the defense of life. And I think that would cost them a lot of votes. But stay tuned, folks. We've got a brief break. We're going to come back more on the American Family Radio Network. Don't go away.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or $140 helps to rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to AFR. Alex McFarland here. Very honored to be on. Very honored to have with me Massey Campos of Self-Evident Truth. I'm going to go to some calls, and we're going to begin in Texas with Ron. Ron, thanks for holding, and welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all, and God bless y'all. I just had a quick question pop in my mind, actually the second question. When you were talking about President Biden, and I definitely understand the heavy heart, there's more to all this than what meets the eye. But my quick question is, let's hypothetically say that in this instance, President Biden has not accepted Christ as his savior. And it could be just hypothetically anyone, but when they get into the age and they enter into the state of dementia or cognitive reasoning and stuff like that, do they still have the ability to accept?
See, that's a great question. And folks, listen carefully, because this is the most serious subject that you could ever ponder, is the state of your soul. You know, Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." And Ron, let me speak to this, and Massey, you weigh in. And by the way, Massey, we've not discussed this beforehand, but think about this. As older people, you know, very often with dementia or Alzheimer's, there's the loss of mental function. To be saved, there has to be several things that a person in their heart of hearts assents to. You admit that you're a sinner. You believe Jesus is the Savior. And when he died on that cross, he died for me. And then you're saying, "Lord, I repent. I believe. Dear Jesus, please save me." A child can do this. A grown-up can do it. But Isaiah 55, 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." And that kind of presupposes there could be a day when he might not be found. Seek the Lord while he is near, because there might be a moment when he's not near. And I do think, Ron, and Massey, you feel free to disagree, but I think there could be a time when a person is beyond conversion, not because God doesn't love them or God wouldn't save them, but for one thing, the Holy Spirit, we have no guarantee that the Holy Spirit will call. And folks listening, I know there are millions of people potentially in this audience. If you're thinking about getting right with Jesus, well, that is not the world, the flesh, or the devil. If you're thinking about God, it's because the Spirit of the Lord is drawing you. And you have no guarantee that tomorrow you'll have this very same opportunity. Massey, what do you say? That's why, you know, I know that they'll say President Biden is a faithful Catholic, quote unquote. But look, If you're pro-Islam, anti-Israel, pro-choice, anti-life, pro-LGBTQ trans, if you're like wrong on 5 dozen issues where the Bible is super duper clear, you know, I would say you, I don't care how religious you might be outwardly, if you're against everything God is for and you're for everything the Word of God is against, I think you need to get born again. And that's why I'm very concerned. Massey, what do you say here, brother?
No, I'm in complete agreement. I will say that's a great question, and one that I'll say too. Romans 1 says he gives them over to a reprobate mind. Eventually, you come to the point where you reject the gospel so much, which, let's just be honest here, to promote the things that the Bible explicitly talks about that God hates, the hands of shedding innocent blood, those kinds of things, you got to wonder, are some of these situations where it's like the dementia stuff, is that God gave them over because that's what they desired? You know, this is what they wanted. This is how they are. But then there's this flip side of me, too, that there are times where the miraculous hand of God can move on a soul. Like, let's just go with Paul, who persecuted Christians, who was deaf to the Holy Spirit, obviously, thinking he was doing God a service by persecuting Christians. And the Lord flips him. You know what I mean? Like, so there comes a point, too, where it's like, okay, Lord, if he's truly saved, obviously that has to be the work of you, and it's still by the Holy Ghost if he can do that. But at this point, I'm looking at President Biden going, I am praying for the man. Like you said, Alex, I really am. But does God give us over to a reprobate mind? Eventually, one that means void of judgment, where you can't see right or wrong. You're without knowledge. You're without conviction. Is this where he's at right now? I just want to keep believing in the power of God, that he can transform a soul. And what a powerful thing that God could do if he could take the sinner on a cross and transform him. Let's pray that he can do that with Biden as well.
Amen. And all politics aside, I mean, you know, my heart goes out in concern for the soul of a fellow human being. We're going to go to Kansas. Larry in Kansas, thanks for holding and welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. You know, I've argued against abortion, you know, because from a biblical perspective, but you can also argue, it seems to me, that and make a connection with the non-believer in the secular world, just because on the value of life itself. I think abortion is the fundamental basis for so many of our evils in society. It's so basic. As soon as you start devaluating life, and the left has devaluated it for over 60 years now, and they've taught our kids in school know that life has no value. They've been taught that you can abort a child. So why are you surprised when there's kids shooting up in schools? You've taught them they don't have a value. You tell them to be kind on one hand, and then you tell them life has no value on the other hand. And I've always thought that if you approach it with that, on that, with that part of the argument against it, you could reach a lot of non-Christians.
Mm. And that's true. And, you know, for really 160 years now, Darwinian evolution has had just a death grip on education in the West. And so there's not only, Larry, to your point, the cheapening of human life and the suppression of moral knowledge, just there's this idea that we came from nothing, life is meaningless, it was a pure accident. Of course, I know that we were made by God. We have worth, value, and dignity because humans are made in God's image. We are not the product of the primordial soup. Darwin was wrong. But Massey, what do you say? What's the link between what we teach kids and how kids end up acting and believing?
Yeah, I think it's. I think he's right. When what did Abraham Lincoln say? The philosophy in the classroom of one generation becomes the philosophy of government in the next. Right. So the more we teach immorality, the more immoral obviously they become. But then it turns into society too, because I've actually used your argument before, Larry, and it's a really good argument to say, if we're devaluing life and saying life has no meaning, right, then why elect someone over you to determine when life begins or ends? Do they have that authority according to you if we all think life is nothing? You know, can you give that kind of authority and power to somebody to say life begins here and life will also end here? It's a slippery slope to be on. And it actually, you're right, Larry, it actually works to kind of pursue it that way and then say, but who gives life? Well, according to the founders, they said this is a duh truth. It's a self-evident truth that God gives life. And if God gives, then he's the only one that can determine it. Therefore, the states don't even have the right to vote on life at all. They don't even have the proper authority or jurisdiction to vote on when life begins or ends either. So that point is very, very clear, especially to the lost who think that life is nothing. But then you ask them, would you sell me your eye for $2 million? And they say, no, it's because your eye is valuable. Well, if your life is nothing, why is your eye so valuable? You just walk them back to the gospel. Really, it's all about the gospel and saving their soul, right? So then they can understand really where life begins and why God gave it to them.
And let me just say this, too. And by the way, the number, if you want to call in, there's a lot to talk about. The president, if Biden steps away or is forced out, and, you know, by the way, there are people calling when the Democrats have their convention for an open convention. You know, I've got some pretty politically savvy friends who insist that Biden will not be the Democrat nominee. He is being pretty staunch that he will not step down. So that's a topic in the news right now. And then, of course, the RNC. And let me urge people, please pray. Please be in prayer that the Spirit of God, as we often say, God would rule and overrule. Because there's talk about on life and marriage. Some are urging the Republican convention to soften their stance. So if you want to call in and talk about these or any other things, the number is 888-589-8840. But Massey, on the issue of life, I mean, our Declaration, Preamble, Constitution, Bill of Rights, you know, this right to life is an inalienable right from God. The role of government is not to give you rights, but to guard the rights you've been given by Almighty God, the Creator. I mean, Massey, you're an expert on this subject. Isn't that what the founders would have understood, that life and the right to life, that's from God. That's not the purvey of man. Isn't that how they would have understood it?
100%. That's precisely the reason they wrote it that way. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That word is very simply understood today for kids is duh. This is like we don't even have to debate this. God creates us. He creates us with certain inalienable rights, and they listed them in the Bill of Rights, obviously. And also, right away, when they said life, there's a reason for that, because we're all created equal. Created meaning they didn't say that we were born or evolved equally. They said we're created. Well, that connotates a creator. That means God gives life. So when they talk about the laws of nature, nature is God, Samuel Adams actually said in a court case, those are the same in existence as the laws of God, the laws of nature are. So if God is the author of law, according to the founders, let's just go with what they said. Forget the Bible for a second. Let's go with what they said. If God is the author of law and rights, if he gives that, then life comes from God. So can man, who is lower than the deity of God, can he rule on when that begins or ends? Also, if that right is given by God, the Bill of Rights says Congress shall make no law. Well, that's because they listed these rights that says Congress can't touch these, life being one of them, liberty being one of them, and the pursuit of happiness, meaning pursuit of excellence and virtue, if you read any kind of Aristotle philosophy, which is what the founders read, none of those things can be touched by government, and yet we've allowed them to do it. And so we're giving this authority, and I don't even like where the RNC is going with saying the states should do it, and this is a state's issue. It's not. This is not a church issue. This is a biblical, spiritual issue.
Exactly. You know, this is a great time to segue to Isaiah in Iowa. Isaiah has been on hold. Isaiah, welcome. Do I have your name right?
You do, yes. Hello. How are you today?
What a great name. I'm going to tell people I spoke with Isaiah, but seriously, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you for having me. So my comment, and first of all, I'll just say I really agree with that. It is not a state's issue. I've been waiting for someone to say that for a long time, because a lot of people want to say abortion should only be protected by the states. And actually, as a little side note, I went to the Republican State Convention in Iowa, and we fought that issue out, and we lost by a small margin, and I'd like to win it next time. My comment is on the Republican platform, the national one, And I don't know if you've seen what came out of the platform committee, I believe yesterday, but the document, generally it talks about common sense tells us, I don't see, perhaps there were some, but I didn't see any references to God-given rights, God, the Bible. And, you know, I heard here, you know, some are influencing. Well, frankly, I've heard that it's Donald Trump's people were trying to influence, water down, remove the planks from the platform. And you know what? If Donald Trump doesn't stand for pro-life Americans, doesn't stand for babies, then it's not the pro-life movement's job to stand for him. If he wants the pro-abortion vote, then the pro-life vote needs to go somewhere else.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons, and I don't say this lightly, but we really need to pray. And let me say to anyone listening that's in any position of leadership within the Republican at the local or state levels, the big tent philosophy of the left has been disastrous. It's been disastrous for the country. It is being disastrous for the Democrat Party, and I'm glad. I will say this, and we'll have to pick this up after the break as well. And Massey, you feel free to weigh in on this.
Sure.
I've heard Donald Trump speak many times. I've heard him publicly. I've been on phone calls with the faith leaders. I believe he is committed to the legal defense of the unborn. I really do, because he has said as much. I also believe that there's this mantra where people have said the pro-life position is costing the Republicans elections. I disagree. I mean, overwhelmingly, Americans affirm, at least in their words, the pro-life position. And again, it's constitutional. I mean, it's not a state's issue. It's a constitutional issue. So I pray that they don't become pro-choice, because I really think that will not only vote-wise, but God will let it happen. I think if the RNC abandons the sanctity of human life, I think they're going to lose, and God probably will let that happen. Now, I hear the music. We're going to come back. Massey, before we pull out on this break, give us your website.
TheSelfEvidentTruth.com.
TheSelfEvidentTruth.com. Great Jeffersonian words there. We hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, undeniable, that everyone has these God-ordained, God-given rights, inalienable. It means can't legitimately be taken away. Among these, what are they? Yeah, exactly, exactly. Stay tuned, folks. Alex McFarland here, the American Family Radio Network. We're going to be back. Isaiah, Sarah in Georgia, Jim, we'll get to all your calls. 888-589-8840. Don't go away. We're back after this brief break.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
You know, John Adams said, quote, a very famous quote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other," end of quote. Mm-hmm. Alex McFarland here, along with Massey Campos, and calls. And folks, you know, when we say pray for our nation, we really mean that, because America only works. The governing documents and the convictions and principles, they really only make sense when the people believe in morals. And so much we could say on that. But before the break, we were talking with Isaiah in Iowa. And basically the question is, if the RNC softens their position on life, morals, marriage, should we even vote? Isaiah, I want to give you time to kind of rephrase and restate your question. And then, folks, let's invest a few minutes and talk about this. But Isaiah, thanks for holding. Restate your very salient question, if you would.
Yeah. So basically, the Republican Party has had a plank stating they want a national ban on abortions, I believe, for the past 40 years. At least I saw that last night on the news. It came out last night, I believe, the platform committee passed a document that had, I believe, one mention saying we oppose late-term abortions, which, of course, we oppose late-term abortions, but we also oppose all abortions from conception forward. And if my, question is, why should the pro-life movement support a party that has moved to the other side of the issue? I mean, if they're going to move to be pro-choice, well, then the Republican, but the pro-life movement is left homeless, and we can't allow our loyalty to Donald Trump or the Republican Party. We can't let that redefine our mission to protect lives.
Okay, great question. Massey, you want to go first? I've got some thoughts on this.
I do.
But Massey, what do you say about this?
So my dear friend, yours too, Alex, Bill Federer told me this one time. He said, Massey, your level of thinking, I'm thinking a lot like you, bro, and he said, you're up here and a lot of us are down here. You got to pull us up with you. The bottom line is, no matter what platform or party says what, our duty as citizens is to hold them accountable to the Constitution, not just their platform, but the Constitution itself. So whether Biden gets in office or Trump or whoever, the RNC, DNC, let's be honest here, there's a two-party system, which I am not a fan of. Washington consistently condemned it. So did Adams, that it would destroy and make a tyrannical scene in our nation if we only had a two-party system, which they didn't want. But right now, that's what we have. And so even if they do change their platform and President Trump becomes the president and other senators and such, right now, that's the party we have. And I'm not saying to compromise. I'm saying to hold fast even two more of our principles. Because we don't stop our principles because President Biden got elected or President Obama or whoever. Our duty then is to resist that authority that is making us do things that are ungodly. That is what Christians do. That's John Knox, you know, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. So to me, there's two ways to look at it. One, you're right. The party is moving so far away from its original intent. I would dare say John F. Kennedy would be an uber conservative compared to most conservatives in the RNC today.
Amen.
But that does not stop us from holding them accountable no matter what, because the party can move, but I'm telling you, there's a majority of people that agree just with you, bro, and we need to hold them accountable to their oath, number one, to the Constitution, two, and they swear an oath on the Bible, so it's to God, too, you know?
Well, and Massey, let me say this, and Isaiah, you raise a great question because, I mean, voting in this era of our nation's history, I mean, it requires a lot of reflection and thought and prayer. Edmund Burke was a colonial leader, and Edmund Burke, very famously, this quote at least is attributed to him, but he said, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And Massey, I've had many pastors. Listen, by God's grace, I've spoken in 2,000 American churches, actually more than that, but I've had probably 150 or 200 pastors say to me over the last 20 years, Alex, you know, you're wasting your time. You know, I don't vote. My trust is not in a man. Men will let you down. My trust is in the Lord. So we don't vote. I still think, look, while the current makeup of the RNC is not ideal, it's not the best, but it's the best hope for the best. And I still would vote. I still would vote Republican. I still would vote for President Trump, who I have briefly met. But let's pray that the party that abolished slavery, the Republican Party, the party that has stood for our founding principles, may God grant that they don't, in this moment of fear and lobbying, compromise those principles. But still, I mean, they're not perfect, but they are still the best option we have for constitutionalism and for Judeo-Christian representative Republican government. And I mean a republic, not Republican Party. I'm talking about our Republican form of government, which is really like a Presbyterian form of government, representative. But Sarah in Georgia. Sarah, thanks for holding. Welcome to the American Family Radio Network and our conversation with constitutional expert Massey Campos. Sarah, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My comment is about the dementia or Alzheimer's patients that might not be able to receive price.
Mm-hmm.
I sat with an elderly lady some years ago, and she was not receptive for a good while to my wanting to talk to her about Jesus. So I would just put it on hold, you know, until one day she was saying that she was really reminiscing about her family that had died. She had told me that her mother taught Sunday school and took them to Sunday school and church when they were little, when they were children. But she had grown up and married a doctor and went out into the world and raised her children outside of church and all that, you know. But one day she was reminiscing and she said she wished she could see them again. And that was my open door. I said, well, you know, it's possible you could see them again. And she said, well, how is that? And I explained to her how to be saved. And I said, admit that you are a sinner and accept Jesus into your heart. I said, if you'll ask him to come in, he'll come in. And she prayed the sinner's prayer with me, and she was so sincere, and she had tears in her eyes. Well,
wow.
Shortly after that, I had to quit sitting with her because she got to where she couldn't even remember how to take up the next step, and I was not able to support her weight. She couldn't remember how to feed herself. I fed her, and I had heard that her health had diminished a lot, so I went by to see her one day, and I asked her how she was doing. Excuse my voice. She didn't know how she was doing. She didn't know what I was talking about. But after a little bit, she started talking to me about the Lord. I said, you remember that? And her face lit up. She said, oh, yes. I asked him to come into my heart, and he did. I said, well, Amen. You know, that's the most important thing. And she said, no, there's one more important thing. And I didn't want to distract from her thoughts. So I said, and what would that be? She patted my hand and she said that we have people like you to tell us about him.
Wow. Sarah, that is wonderful. And to everybody listening, look, this is a great, great reason for your church to have ministry to the elderly and to nursing homes and assisted living places. You know, in Matthew 25, when the Lord talked about, you know, not only giving a cup of cold water, but it says, I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Sarah, God bless you for helping that woman find Christ. And you know what? We had a friend. She's in heaven now, but she did a nursing home ministry for years. She led dozens and dozens of people to Christ, including a Jewish lady that was almost 100 years old. This Jewish lady accepted Christ. Sarah, thank you for sharing that. You know, it's this part of the show. I wish I had another hour, but we have a few minutes. I'm going to go to Georgia. Tom in Georgia, thanks for holding. Welcome to AFR.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. I believe what my original comment was has already been covered, but I'd like to say something I hope will be encouraging about talking to older people about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I was really worried about my father because even though he had been baptized and everything that you would say, you think would indicate he was a Christian, on one occasion he got really mad at my mother and told her he didn't mean all that and he didn't believe any of it. So that went on. He started getting dementia. And to make this kind of short, I was really concerned, so I prayed about it a lot. And I had the thought to contact this minister at my church and ask him if he would talk to my dad if I brought him by on a Monday afternoon, because my dad and I met for lunch then. So I brought him there, and the minister called him by a nickname he had never heard. And my dad instantly, just like 20 years fell off of him. And the pastor and my dad talked, and my dad reaffirmed his faith from earlier in life when he said he was saved at a Brush Arbor meeting out in the countryside, which would have been during the Depression. Mm-hmm. And we all prayed together. And so the Lord, I feel like, cleared up my father's mind and allowed him to reaffirm his faith in the Lord. And so I hope that'll encourage some of the other folks.
Amen. Amen. You know, Massey, don't you think, and Tom, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I remember we prayed for a lady that this pastor's sister was in a coma, and he knew that he was pretty sure she wasn't saved. And we prayed. We spent a revival praying, and this woman woke up from a coma, and she asked for her brother. She said, I'm going to meet the Lord, and I'm not ready. This man led his sister to Christ. She later went back into a coma and died, but she was ready. Massey, don't you think God, in his miraculous power and mercy, he sometimes breaks through and opens people's awareness such that they can turn to Jesus? Don't you agree?
Oh, my gosh. And just hearing that, was it Sarah's story, I was tearing up, because it's like, who are we to say that person can't be because of the power of God? There's actually on social media, there's a video going around of a woman who's like, the son was asking, you know, certain names, and the woman couldn't remember because she had dementia. And all of a sudden he goes, do you remember Jesus? She goes, oh, he's been my best friend for years. And just her face and her countenance completely changed. It's like the power of Christ still can destroy any enemy's plans in sickness. And I know that's what I firmly believe. No matter what, if God's going to get his soul, he's going to get his soul and seal them by the Holy Spirit. So I totally believe in that. I totally believe in what Tom just said as well, that like there's just this move of God that can happen that can destroy even the hardest of heart, you know. Mm-hmm. And I want to say this too, Alex. I've said this a lot in Patriot groups. If your heart is not for souls and only out to destroy your enemies, you've missed the gospel. We've missed what we're doing here as a nation. We don't want to do that, because even our founders said in the Declaration that we must therefore acquiesce to necessity, which denounces their separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind. And in wartime, we're enemies, but in peace, we're friends. They weren't out to just destroy a nation. They were out to say, hey, our rights have been violated, but we're still friends with you after this is all done. The first prayer done by a Continental Congress was, hey, Lord, help them drop their arms in war, Father. Let them see the unrighteousness of their cause, Father. They didn't want to kill anybody. They were like, Lord, if you could show them their conscience, please. We don't want to die. We don't want them to die. We want them spared. So if we can have that heart, I think we're going to do much more greater things.
Carol in Kansas. Time fleets away. So, Carol, I wanted to get you on the board. Are you there?
I am. I want to thank you. Thank you. I just love you and your presentation and how you guys are so gentle as you allow the sword of the Lord to go right into the heart of people. It's just beautiful. My comment is on the Republican Party, and I am a member of our little granny brigade. We started here in the middle of Kansas, and we had our Republican forum, and I was just shocked because four of our people that are in the public forum were Republicans, but they were, when we asked the question about life, they were pro-choice, and it just shocked us. Well, I've always been one that says I'm not voting for anybody unless they're pro-life, but we have the lesser of two evils because we don't have any other choice. So same thing with the president. It's like we have to choose the one. We're not electing a preacher. You know,
right.
If we were, that would be probably different. But
hey, Carol, we're almost out of time. Sister, I forgive me for jumping in. The lesser of two evils. I get it. Hey, Massey, we need to pray. We need to influence others. We need to vote, don't we, Massey?
We do.
Thanks.
Brother.
We're out of time. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.